Have you ever considered why data analytics is crucial in today's decision-making processes? By embracing this field, you can unlock valuable insights that drive innovation and strategic choices. Get ready to explore essential concepts that will enhance your understanding and application of data analytics. Let's dive into this journey of discovery and mastery. In this chapter, you'll develop an understanding of the guiding principles of data analytics. You'll learn to embrace experimentation, maintain focus on your goals, and simplify processes, all of which are essential for accelerating decision-making. Next, you'll analyze reasoning in data analytics by distinguishing between deductive and inductive reasoning. You'll also learn how to avoid common pitfalls, like confusing correlation with causation, while effectively validating your causal conclusions. Following that, you will evaluate risks to ensure analytic rigor, understanding type 1 errors, and applying significance levels through a disciplined reasoning checklist. You'll then examine the interconnected components of data science, exploring how various data types, analytic classes, and models interact to shape your choices in analytic solutions. Finally, you will master analytic techniques and models, learning how to apply transforming learning and predictive analytics while evaluating supervised, unsupervised, and reinforcement learning models to address real-world challenges. A crucial aspect of building analytics capability is understanding that principles serve as guides, not strict rules. It's important to adapt these tenets to fit the unique challenges and constraints of your specific context. Next, embrace the philosophy of experimenting early and learning fast. Running small, rapid tests allows you to gain insights quickly and minimizes the cost if something goes wrong. Stay goal-aligned by continuously linking your actions back to your original intent. This ensures your efforts truly advance meaningful outcomes rather than losing focus on what matters. Additionally, prefer simplicity first in your approach. Starting with the simplest solution that can work enables faster deployment and easier troubleshooting, with complexity added only when it's shown to deliver clear value. Finally, iterate toward action by moving swiftly from prototyping to decision-making, capturing lessons learned with each cycle. This approach helps refine your process and keeps you focused on producing actionable insights. Let's turn our attention to essential strategies for building analytics capability. First, be willing to fail. Embrace the idea that small, low-cost experiments are valuable, as failures provide crucial signals that help narrow your search for effective solutions. Next, prioritize failing often and learning quickly. Working in short cycles allows you to capture insights from each attempt, iterating rapidly to improve your outcomes. As you progress, keep the goal in mind. Regularly pause to evaluate if your current actions are advancing your analytic objectives. If they aren't, pivot or cease those efforts to maintain focus. Additionally, remember that dedication and focus lead to success. Persist through various approaches and pay attention to minor data signals, as they can reveal significant insights. Lastly, understand that complicated does not equal better. Start with the simplest method that meets your needs, as this will help you prototype, implement, and verify faster. Let's break down the essentials to build analytics capability. First, it's crucial to shift deliberately between reasoning modes. Engage in deductive logic to test your clear hypotheses, while also employing inductive logic to identify patterns that may inspire new ideas. Next, the power of big data cannot be understated. It significantly boosts inductive discovery by revealing correlations quickly. However, we must remain vigilant, as merely finding patterns requires careful interpretation and follow-up testing. It's vital to remember that correlation does not prove causation. A relationship can be present in data without being a direct cause and effect. For instance, consider the intriguing example of ice cream sales and murder rates, both peaking during the summer. This correlation prompts us to examine underlying factors, such as rising temperatures and seasonal behavior, rather than jumping to conclusions about ice cream causing crime. Lastly, when making claims about causation, it's essential to articulate a causal mechanism, develop a testable model, and gather evidence that rules out alternative explanations before reaching any conclusions. Let's discuss the risks associated with declaring findings that aren't actually present, known as type 1 error or false positive. This error significantly impacts our conclusions and the integrity of our results. To mitigate this risk in individual tests, we select a small significance level denoted as alpha. For example, setting alpha at 0.05 limits the likelihood of claiming a false positive to about 1 in 20 tests. However, when we test many hypotheses, the probability of encountering a significant result just by chance increases. To address this, employing a conservative method like Bonferroni is crucial. It allows us to distribute our overall error budget across multiple tests. For instance, if we have 20 tests and want to maintain a family-wise error rate of 0.05, we should set a stricter alpha for each test, 0.0025 in this case, to minimize false alarms and reinforce the credibility of our findings. Now let's break down the essentials for building analytics capability. First, it's critical to state the problem as an answer sentence. This means articulating your intended outcome directly, so everyone involved has a clear understanding, such as determining which deployment yields the best return on time. Next, set your decision criteria upfront. Define the success metrics, the significance level, and the acceptable type 1 error risk before diving into the analysis. This will keep you from shifting goals midway through the process. Following that, writing the analytic plan is essential. Outline your data sources, methods, assumptions, and validation steps. This structure helps clarify your approach and exposes any gaps early on. Finally, don't forget to do some back-of-the-envelope checks. Quick estimates help ensure that your plan and numbers make sense, serving as sanity checks before you proceed. Now let's unpack the essentials for building analytics capability. First, it's vital to validate your instructions to the computer. You need to confirm that the code and parameters reflect your intent. If you find yourself struggling to explain the output simply, it's time to revisit your setup. Next, assess the sense-making of the answers you receive. Ensure that the results are both explainable and aligned with your original instruction and business goals. As you proceed, controlling false discoveries becomes crucial, especially when running multiple tests. Apply multiple testing corrections and refrain from repeated peaking to limit spurious rejections. Lastly, challenge any surprising results ruthlessly. Replicate findings, conduct sensitivity checks, and look for mundane explanations first to determine if what you see is a true finding or just a mistake. Consider the essentials to build analytics capability. First, it's crucial to address the original intent and not merely the expectations of stakeholders. Map each result clearly to your decision question, ensuring that any finding that doesn't contribute to the question is labeled as exploratory rather than altered to fit a preferred narrative. Next, craft a complete and actionable story that links the problem, data, methods, results and implications. Ensure that your writing and visuals are polished to maintain credibility. As we manage our analysis, it's important to be vigilant about type 1 errors or false positives. Choose a significance level that aligns with business risk and report confidence intervals alongside p-values to avoid misinterpretation. Also, when dealing with multiple testing, disclose the number of tests conducted and apply appropriate corrections, such as the Bonferroni or Benjamini-Hochberg methods, to prevent misleading outcomes. Lastly, articulate next steps under resource limitations. Clarify what obstacles halted the analysis and suggest the smallest viable follow-up actions, which could reduce uncertainty should more time or data become available. Let's turn our attention to building analytics capability. First, data types significantly drive feasibility. The form, volume, and velocity of data inform us on which analytic classes and learning models can be applied effectively. Next, we must align analytic classes to the questions we seek to answer. This is crucial as the chosen method families must correspond with the problem framing while being limited by the data's capabilities. Lastly, learning models heavily depend on the data we have at our disposal. The availability and structure of data play a critical role in narrowing down the viable approaches for model selection. Together, these components create a cohesive framework that underpins successful analytics. In this section, we will cover some essential concepts in building analytics capability. First, it's crucial to understand that execution models are inherently constraint-led. Key factors such as latency, timeliness, and the strategy for algorithmic parallelization dictate how analytics are carried out in real-world scenarios. Next, we encounter the idea of constraint propagation. A decision made upstream, like the type of data being used, can have a cascading effect downstream. This can either limit or expand the options available for analytics, learning, and execution. Finally, let's consider illustrative linkage. When data demands quick responses, the requirements for timeliness and parallelization will significantly restrict execution choices. This ultimately shapes the analytics and learning selections that can be effectively implemented. Let's turn our attention to the essentials of data structure in building analytics capability. First, we have structured data. This type features clearly defined fields with explicit meaning, often represented in rows and columns. It is typically categorical, ordinal, or numeric, and is aligned to relational models, making it easy to store and analyze. Next, we delve into semi-structured data, which possesses tags or markers that convey some organization, yet does not strictly conform to rigid relational schemas. This flexibility allows for diverse applications, although parsing and normalization are common preliminary steps for working effectively with this data type. Finally, we explore unstructured data, comprising natural language text, images, video, and audio. Since this data lacks a predefined structure, it necessitates pre-processing to extract relevant features. This step is crucial before any meaningful analysis can take place, allowing us to harness insights hidden within. Let's turn our attention to the essentials of data types in analytics capability. Streaming data is critical. It flows in continuously, much like a torrent from a fire hose. This type of data is ideal for real-time or near-real-time execution models, where immediate insights matter. On the other hand, we have batch data, which is collected in larger segments and processed in periodic cycles. This allows for scaling up processing, suitable for more extensive transformations or learning cycles. In combining these two approaches, we recognize the design implications. The type and rate of data influence pre-processing needs, shaping the analytic class and learning model selected from start to finish. Understanding these dynamics helps align technical decisions with resource capabilities and timing. As we transition into the essentials of building analytics capability, let's delve into three critical components: aggregation, enrichment, and processing. First, aggregation plays a vital role in transforming raw data into useful summaries. It employs statistical methods such as calculating the mean, analyzing standard deviations, and utilizing histograms to expose underlying patterns. Next, enrichment enhances the data's context by attaching essential information such as source origin or device tags. This context is crucial for making records more informative and actionable. Finally, processing focuses on cleansing and preparing data for analysis, which includes transformations like feature extraction. Together, these elements create a solid foundation for robust analytics, setting the stage for meaningful insights and informed decision-making. To enhance your understanding of analytics capability, we'll explore four essential techniques. First, regression provides a way to estimate relationships and predict values. By quantifying how various inputs relate to continuous outcomes, we can forecast or understand key drivers, such as predicting sales based on factors like price, season, and promotions. Next, clustering helps us segment data by natural similarity. This technique uncovers unlabeled groups, revealing the underlying structure and cohorts within the data. For instance, it can effectively group customers by behavior without any predefined classes. Following this, classification assigns group membership based on labeled examples. This allows us to predict discrete categories for new cases, such as categorizing transactions as approved or denied, distinguishing between spam and non-spam emails, or deciding whether a customer will churn or stay. Lastly, recommendation systems infer preferences from user history. By analyzing behavioral patterns and similarities, they predict ratings or suggest the next best items, like people like you also liked suggestions. Together, these techniques form a strong foundation for building robust analytics capabilities. Let's explore the critical concepts that build analytics capability. First, we have simulation, which acts as a predictive what-if tool. It imitates real-world processes to anticipate outcomes when conditions change. For example, consider modeling a supply chain under a new reorder policy. This simulation allows us to estimate stockouts, delays, and throughput before making any real changes. Next, we address optimization, a technique focused on finding the best choice. It uses operations research principles to select the optimal option from available alternatives to maximize our utility function. An example would be choosing staffing levels that boost service quality while adhering to cost constraints through evaluating different schedules. Finally, we clarify when to use each approach. Use simulation to explore various scenarios and potential outcomes. In contrast, optimization should be employed when you need to determine the single best action that meets your objectives while respecting constraints. Understanding when to apply these methods is essential for effective decision-making. Let's turn our attention to different learning models and their corresponding training modes. First, we have supervised learning, which utilizes labeled data with known categories. This approach is best when the objective is to achieve predictive accuracy on established targets. It's effective in stable data environments where updates can be infrequent. However, it can also adapt through online methods to manage data drift effectively. Next, unsupervised learning stands out as it operates without prior class labels. It excels at exploration and structure discovery, aiding in grouping and anomaly detection. Whether run offline for periodic insights or online to accommodate evolving data patterns, it's adaptable and insightful. Then there's semi-supervised learning, which combines a small labeled data set with a large pool of unlabeled data. This method significantly enhances performance when labeled instances are scarce, helping to leverage the abundant unlabeled information. It starts with an offline bootstrap and progressively refines its accuracy as new data and labels emerge. As you consider these methods, keep in mind the key constraints: availability and cost of labels, the need for timely decisions, and the computational resources required for effective training and updates. Each choice can significantly influence your success in deploying models according to your specific needs. Let's examine the intriguing world of reinforcement learning. This approach is unique because, instead of relying on per-example labels, it operates on a reward-over-time basis. Essentially, the learning signal consists of a state, such as the raw pixels from a game, combined with actions that the agent can take, which ultimately lead to a reward signal. This framework is particularly effective for sequential decision-making scenarios where optimizing outcomes under uncertainty is key. For instance, agents can learn from observations like pixels and scores, mastering games, or developing navigation strategies. This distinctive paradigm is invaluable for tasks where every action influences future rewards. Let's turn our attention to execution models, which are fundamental in defining how we process data for analytics. These models categorize data processing across various dimensions, providing clarity and direction in our analytics efforts. First, we have the batch execution model. This approach processes data in large chunks, alternating between distinct running and non-running states, while retaining minimal memory state between executions. Next is the streaming execution model, a powerful tool that allows us to analyze data in real time as it arrives. This model maintains state in memory, ensuring results are continuously delivered, making it highly effective for dynamic data environments. Finally, scalability plays a crucial role in execution models. We can achieve scalability by distributing computations across multiple computers. Interestingly, some algorithms require shared memory, while others can function effectively without it. This diversity in execution models offers tailored solutions to meet various analytic needs. Let's look into some essential strategies for building analytics capability. First, adopting a fractal mindset is crucial. This approach treats analytics as self-similar at every scale. By ensuring that small experiments are reflective of full solutions, we can cultivate consistent habits and accelerate our learning. Next, we have the principle to iterate early and often. It's important to ship an imperfect yet useful version of your work quickly. This allows you to gather valuable feedback and build momentum, rather than waiting too long for a perfect solution that might arrive too late. Finally, it's essential to anchor to business value. Before diving into the analytics process, clarify how your insights will drive decisions. This step helps you avoid falling into the trap of creating interesting yet non-actionable trivia. Embracing these strategies will pave the way for a stronger analytics foundation. Let's turn our attention to the essentials that drive analytics capability. First, if your goal is to discover, you're diving into the unknown, looking for patterns or anomalies that highlight potential value, such as unexpected customer clusters. As you move to describe, it's crucial to summarize what happened and why, fostering a clear understanding among stakeholders regarding current performance and its drivers. Next, when predicting, consider what is likely to happen next. This estimation is vital for prioritizing resources and managing risks proactively. Finally, if your aim is to advise, this involves translating insights into actionable recommendations, ensuring that predictions lead to strategic decisions to enhance business outcomes. Together, these goals form a cohesive framework that empowers organizations in their analytics journey. Now let's explore the essentials for building strong analytics capability. Start by ensuring your data is representative and clean. Properly clean data prevents poor results and reveals reliable signals that reflect the true business environment. Next, implement a divide-and-conquer strategy for computation. By breaking down complex problems into smaller analytic tasks, you can create distinct goals and outputs, each tailored to a specific computation method. It's also vital to utilize mixed execution models, combining batch jobs for thorough analysis with real-time streaming for rapid insights. This ensures you meet both depth and speed requirements. Moreover, ensure that your outputs drive actions. Insights should lead to direct decisions that influence operational processes or pricing strategies. Lastly, establish a value loop that connects your analytics capabilities to business goals, facilitating measurement and continuous improvement in your data and actions. Building analytics capability involves a systematic approach, Start by defining the desired action, clarifying what decision or intervention the analysis aims to enable. This foundational step ensures that all subsequent techniques align purposefully with your goals. Next, let the traits of the problem guide your technique selection. By examining data types, label availability, and the structure of signals, you can effectively narrow down a suitable set of techniques. Finally, decompose your overarching objective into smaller, manageable subproblems. Tasks such as detection, ranking, or forecasting should each be paired with the most appropriate analytic technique, facilitating a structured and effective analysis process. As we explore the essentials for building analytics capability, let's start by balancing trade-offs. It's crucial to match techniques to constraints such as speed, accuracy, implementation effort, and resource limits. Next, we should iterate toward fit by prototyping quickly, measuring outcomes, and refining our selections as evidence accumulates. Keeping an end-to-end view is equally important. We must ensure that upstream data preparation and downstream execution models seamlessly support the chosen analytics. Lastly, we must anchor our approach to guiding principles, staying experimental, reasoning carefully, and rigorously testing assumptions to prevent errors and misalignment. These steps collectively establish a solid foundation for our analytics endeavors. Now let's turn our attention to the essentials for building analytics capability. First, it's vital to state the compound goal and then segment it into manageable sub-goals. By identifying the overarching objective, we can better divide it into actionable components that can be tackled independently or sequentially. Next, we need to map out the natural orderings and dependencies among these sub-goals. This arrangement will ensure that the outputs of one task effectively feed into the inputs of the next, creating a smooth flow of execution. Finally, we should inventory our data by type to drive processing effectively. By listing available data and tagging it appropriately, we can identify the most suitable processing activities for each data type, streamlining our overall analytics approach. Now, for something important, building analytics capability. First, we need to place human-in-the-loop touchpoints, where expert review, labeling, or adjudication can significantly improve accuracy, safety, or learning speed. This ensures that we leverage human judgment at critical stages. Next, planning multi-source fusion is essential. We must define how to combine disparate data sources and identify the best stage for this integration to enhance our coverage and confidence. Furthermore, we must define the goal, needed data, chosen computation, and resulting action for each sub-problem, ensuring clarity and accountability in our objectives. Lastly, it's crucial to align with constraints and trade-offs, selecting techniques that effectively balance speed, accuracy, implementation effort, and resources for each component. This structured approach will significantly bolster our analytics capabilities. Now let's discuss some essential strategies for building analytics capability. Initially, the naive plan involved computing pairwise similarity for every new domain, but this method proved to be too slow and complex for timely alerts. Upon re-evaluating this approach, the team reframed the task by pre-computing a list of domains that are similar to the company's domains. This allowed them to efficiently match these pre-computed domains with the stream of recently registered domains. To enhance the operational aspect, a similarity threshold was established, enabling automated checks that favored speed while continuously monitoring accuracy. As a result of these efforts, the deployed analytics successfully surfaced a spoofed domain within just 48 hours, showcasing the effectiveness of this analytic approach under real-world constraints. Let's break down some key essentials that contribute to building robust analytics capabilities. First, we have analytic complexity. This entails the sophistication of your models and techniques. While more advanced methods can yield better insights, they often come with increased resource demands and extended execution times. Next up is speed. In scenarios where near real-time responses are crucial, there is often a trade-off, pushing you to opt for simpler models or approximations to ensure timely results. Moving on, we consider accuracy and precision. Higher standards for correctness and consistency in outputs typically require more data and computing power, which in turn extends processing time. Now let's talk about data size. The sheer volume of records that you need to process can significantly impact your approach. For very large data sets, it may be necessary to explore options like sampling, streaming, or distributed processing to manage the load efficiently. Lastly, we address data complexity. The variety and structure of features, whether they are text, images, or graphs, can significantly increase pre-processing requirements and place additional burdens on your models. Understanding these dynamics helps in effectively managing your analytics capacity. Let's explore the essentials for building analytics capability. First, consider the computation frequency, especially in fixed time windows. If your jobs are running hourly or nightly, it's crucial to ensure that your pipeline completes within that time frame. This entails favoring batch-friendly, bounded compute steps with predictable runtimes. Next, we address solution timeliness. When immediate results are necessary, opting for streaming or incremental processing significantly reduces end-to-end latency, allowing you to act quickly on insights. Moving on to implementation speed, delivering fast means selecting simpler, proven techniques, particularly when deadlines are tight. These methods can be built, tested, and verified more rapidly, ensuring you meet tight timelines effectively. As we consider computational resource limits, it's important to bypass multi-pass algorithms that process the entire dataset. Instead, use single-pass or incremental approaches that conform to your CPU and memory constraints, maintaining efficiency. Lastly, be aware of data storage limitations. If you're only able to keep short histories, it becomes vital to restrict your feature windows and model horizons to what your available storage can accommodate, ensuring that your analytics solutions remain sustainable. In this segment, we'll highlight the essentials to build analytics capability. First, it's crucial to frame your goal and establish clear success criteria. Articulate the specific business objectives, define the measurable outcomes you're aiming for, and take into account any constraints regarding timeliness and resources. Next, we need to describe the problem characteristics. This involves assessing data availability, its structure, granularity, and how frequently it arrives. Be mindful of any unique domain specifics that could influence your approach as you navigate through the challenges. Finally, enter the diagram with your answers. Follow the branches that align with your outlined goal and problem characteristics. This will lead you to the appropriate class of techniques tailored to your situation. To develop a solid analytics capability, it's essential to consider a few critical steps. First, you should review the recommended starting techniques. From the class node, select one or two suggested techniques as your initial options for solution design. Next, it's important to evaluate the trade-offs and constraints. This stage requires balancing practicality, implementation speed, and resource limits with your expected performance outcomes. Finally, embrace the cycle of piloting, learning, and iterating. Conduct a quick test to identify errors and gather insights, allowing you to refine your choice of path or technique as needed. By following these crucial steps, you'll ensure a more effective approach to building your analytics capabilities. To build effective analytics capabilities, let's delve into some essential steps. Start from your short list of techniques. Use the diagram-driven selection pathway to identify a few candidate techniques that align with your goals and constraints. Once you have those names, it's time to locate the matching rows in the detailed table of analytics and open each corresponding row to get a clearer picture. Next, read the brief description first. This will help you translate the technical jargon into tangible actions, clarifying what each technique actually does, the data it expects, and its typical outcomes. Following this, apply the practitioner tips. These insights will provide you with usage advice, highlight common pitfalls, and offer setup hints that will accelerate your experimentation and iteration process. Finally, it's critical to judge the fit against your constraints. Compare the tips and descriptions to your timeliness, computing power, storage capacity, and implementation speed limits. This comprehensive assessment will ensure you select the most suitable technique for your specific needs. Now, turning our attention to the detailed table of analytics, we start with active learning. This technique selects the most informative samples to label, iteratively improving the model, ideal for problems where labels are scarce, but human expertise is available. A pro tip here is to keep a human in the loop, allowing for the incorporation of domain knowledge during the querying process. However, be cautious of sampling bias and non-representative queries, as they can mislead the model. Next, we dive into agent-based simulation, which simulates autonomous agents and their interactions under simple rules. This method works best for studying emergent behavior, policy testing, and exploring what-if scenarios. Begin with simple agent rules to build a foundation before gradually adding complexity. Yet, watch out for over-engineering and poor calibration, as these can obscure valuable insights. Shifting gears, we have ANOVA, a technique designed to test mean differences across more than two groups. This is particularly useful for multi-group comparisons with a singular outcome in mind. Always check your assumptions and control family-wise error rates before performing post-hoc tests. Keep an eye out for the potential pitfalls related to normality, equal variance, and independence, which can inflate type 1 error rates. Moving on to association rule mining, specifically the a priori algorithm. This technique identifies frequent co-occurrences and if-then relationships, predominantly used in market basket analysis and event co-occurrence discovery. A pro tip is to tune parameters like support, confidence, and lift to surface the most meaningful rules. However, be alert to the occurrence of spurious rules when your thresholds are set too low. Finally, we discuss Bayesian networks, which model conditional probabilities in a directed acyclic graph structure. They are beneficial for causal reasoning, diagnosis, and probabilistic inference. It's advisable to hand calculate small subgraphs initially to validate your understanding. However, be wary of directionality assumptions and potential data sparsity, as these factors can lead to misleading conclusions. All these techniques provide a structured pathway to navigate complex analytics challenges, blending theory with practical application. Let's unpack the detailed table of analytics, starting with collaborative filtering. This technique recommends or filters items by assessing behavior similarity among users. It leverages user item similarity and utilizes singular value decomposition, or SVD, to uncover latent factors when explicit ratings are sparse. Next, we have coordinate transformation, which aims to reveal structure by employing new bases or subspaces. This method changes the bases through subspace analysis, making it effective when data displays orientation or scale issues, or when dealing with clustered subspaces. Shifting gears, we encounter deep learning, a powerful technique adept at learning hierarchical features for complex patterns. This approach utilizes multilayer networks and benefits greatly from GPU acceleration, especially in scenarios involving large datasets and non-linear relationships. The design of experiments, or DOE, is crucial for estimating effects efficiently under controlled conditions. It employs controlled trials and fractional factorial designs, making it suitable for exploring multiple factors with limited runs. Finally, we covered differential equations, which model system dynamics over time. By using ordinary or partial differential equation formulations and numerical solvers, this technique effectively addresses processes characterized by rates, trajectories, and initial conditions. This comprehensive overview encapsulates various analytical techniques, each tailored to specific applications and challenges in data science. Let's break down the detailed table of analytics that covers various techniques. First, we have discrete event simulation, which models systems as event-driven state changes over time. This technique is ideal for environments like production lines and call centers, where queues and resources play a significant role. Next, we explore discrete wavelet transform, a powerful time frequency transform that preserves locality, making it suitable for analyzing non-stationary signals with localized events. Ensemble learning follows as it combines multiple models to enhance predictions, particularly when individual models struggle with performance or stability. Next, we have expert systems, which leverage symbolic rules to infer conclusions while providing explanations, making them valuable in domains that require transparency. Lastly, we look at exponential smoothing, a technique that forecasts by giving more weight to recent observations, allowing for quick adaptations in short-term time series scenarios. Each of these methods offers unique strengths and considerations tailored to specific challenges in data analysis. Now let's look closely at the analytical techniques that can enhance data processing. First, we have factor analysis, which reduces many correlated variables into a few latent factors. This is particularly effective for dimensionality reduction and uncovering hidden constructs within a dataset. Next is the fast Fourier transform, or FFT, which converts time signals to the frequency domain, perfect for inspecting periodic structures, especially in data involving noise and spectral features. Then we have format conversion, designed to normalize varied file formats into a common representation, making data onboarding and text extraction from disparate sources seamless. Following that, fuzzy logic allows for reasoning with degrees of truth rather than strict categories, enabling more nuanced decision-making when dealing with vague concepts. Lastly, Gaussian filtering smooths data using a Gaussian kernel to reduce noise, ensuring that important details are not lost during the process. Each of these techniques offers unique strengths and can be applied strategically based on specific analytical needs. Now, let's break down the essential techniques for data analysis, starting with generalized linear models, or GLMs. They extend linear regression methods to accommodate non-normal error distributions using link functions. This makes them particularly suitable for outcomes like counts or probabilities, where traditional linear approaches fall short. Their interpretable coefficients and broad applicability across distributions like Logit and Poisson are notable strengths. However, they do require careful selection of the appropriate link and distribution, and may struggle with complex nonlinear relationships. Next, we have genetic algorithms, or GAs. These are evolutionary search processes that explore candidate solutions through selection, crossover, and mutation. They excel in tackling complex objective landscapes, particularly in both discrete and continuous spaces. The ability to evaluate many solutions in parallel is a significant advantage, although they can be computationally intensive and often involve numerous hyperparameters without guarantees of finding optimal solutions. Following that, we look at grid search, an analytical method that systematically sweeps through discrete parameter values to gauge model performance. This approach is ideal when dealing with small to moderate hyperparameter spaces, as it provides transparency and reproducibility in results. However, it can fall short when scaling to higher dimensions, potentially missing optimal values nestled between grid points. Then we consider hidden Markov models, or HMMs. These probabilistic models are designed for sequential data, utilizing latent states to capture the temporal dependencies in the data. They're particularly effective in situations where local time warping is present and can leverage efficient inference algorithms. Yet their main limitation lies in their Markovian structure, which may not adequately represent state duration dynamics. Lastly, we examine hierarchical clustering, a method that constructs a multi-resolution tree of clusters known as a dendrogram. This is especially useful for exploratory clustering tasks, where the number of clusters isn't predetermined. It allows for a comprehensive view of clusters at various resolutions, providing depth to analysis, although it can become slow with larger data sets and is sensitive to the choices of linkage and distance metrics. As you assess these techniques, keep in mind the importance of aligning your choice with your specific data requirements and objectives. Now let's explore our detailed examination of analytics techniques. First, we have K-means clustering, which is designed to partition data into K-centroid-based groups. This method is particularly effective when clusters are roughly spherical and similar in size, especially when the number of clusters K is known or small. Moving on to X-means clustering, it automatically selects the number of clusters using centroid models, making it suitable when K is unknown and data-driven cluster counts are desired. Next, we consider linear programming, a powerful technique to optimize a linear objective under linear constraints. This method works best when relationships are linear and there's a need for guaranteed optimality. In contrast, nonlinear programming allows for the optimization of nonlinear objectives and constraints when relationships are curved, though it introduces challenges in terms of computation and the risk of local minima. As we delve into integer programming, this technique focuses on optimizing discrete decision variables, making it ideal when decisions must be yes or no, or involve counts and assignments. However, it can be NP-hard and slow for large instances. Lastly, we look at Markov chain Monte Carlo methods. This sampling technique is useful for drawing from complex posteriors, when closed-form inference is infeasible, but it requires careful consideration of convergence diagnostics and can be computationally intensive. In this way, each technique comes with its own strengths and trade-offs, making it essential to choose the one most suited for your specific problem, context, and requirements. Let's delve into the critical techniques of analytics, highlighting their practical uses and trade-offs. First up are neural networks. Training these networks is notably slower than inference, but implementing sparser connectivity can enhance classification performance. You'll experience faster predictions as sparsity reduces computational costs and can lead to better generalization. However, be cautious of long training cycles and the risk of overparameterization if there's no clear structure in place. It's advisable to exploit pruning or structured sparsity during design, especially keeping inference time limits in mind. Next, let's discuss outlier removal. While it may be tempting to exclude anomalies, these aberrant points can sometimes represent the most intriguing behaviors in your data. Removing genuine noise can yield clearer models. However, beware of eliminating rare yet critical behaviors. It's essential to flag and review outliers first to ensure you're making informed decisions before any exclusions. Now consider principal components analysis, or PCA. This technique helps reduce dimensionality by ranking components according to variance, which can be further examined using scree plots. The result is typically faster downstream models and a reduction in noise. Still, you'll need to be careful not to discard informative low-variance structures, which can complicate interpretation. A good practice is to identify the right number of components by observing the elbow in the scree plot and validating performance downstream. Moving on to random search, it serves as an excellent benchmark in the analysis. Ensure you use a good random number generator and a fresh seed for each run to maintain fairness in comparison. This method provides broad coverage of the hyperparameter space, but be mindful that a poor RNG or seed can bias your results. Finally, we address regression with shrinkage, also known as lasso. Selecting the appropriate lambda via cross-validation using mean squared error as a metric allows for automatic feature selection and reduced variance in your model. However, if lambda is set too high, you risk overshrinkage. Thus, it's vital to choose a lambda that minimizes cross-validated mean squared error and to document the associated uncertainty for clarity. Let's turn our attention to the detailed techniques of analytics, starting with sensitivity analysis. This technique helps assess how changes in parameters impact outcomes, allowing you to reduce dimensionality effectively. By controlling perturbation size and parameter ranges, you can identify low-impact parameters and simplify your models. Next, we have simulated annealing, which aims for a global search by balancing exploration and exploitation. It's crucial to set an appropriate initial temperature and cooling schedule, as extending the high-temperature phase can significantly enhance outcomes, particularly in complex landscapes. Then there's stepwise regression, an automated method for variable selection in modeling. By focusing on the direction of variable inclusion and applying AIC thresholds, you can create more parsimonious models, but beware of overfitting by constraining the number of variables. Moving on to stochastic gradient descent, or SGD, this method optimizes objectives using gradients, making it ideal for a variety of problems, including non-smooth ones. Pay attention to learning rates and batch sizes to ensure convergence without divergence. Finally, we explore support vector machines, or SVMs, which provide robust solutions for classification and regression tasks by maximizing margins. It's vital to experiment with various kernels and hyperparameters using k-fold cross-validation to ensure optimal selection. This overview underscores the significance of parameter screening, global exploration, cautious feature selection, robust optimization, and diligent validation in your analytical journeys. Let's dive into the detailed techniques of analytics, starting with TF-IDF. This method scores the importance of terms relative to a corpus, making it useful for text mining. However, it requires tokenized text, vocabulary, and document frequencies to function effectively. When employing TF-IDF, be mindful of your tokenization choices and the weighting scheme. It assumes sparse term relevance. Next, we have topic modeling, specifically LDA, which discovers latent topics as distributions over words. This technique takes raw term counts and may involve part of speech filtering. Remember to carefully choose the number of topics and validate your results to ensure interpretability. Moving on, tree-based methods create a decision or classification structure through recursive splits using a feature matrix with the target. It's essential to consider your split criteria and pruning tactics, as this affects the depth of the tree and the assumption of informative features. These methods are strong in handling non-linearities, yet they may overfit without proper pruning. Now, when comparing two groups, the two-sample t-test serves to test the mean differences effectively, given that you have two samples with a numeric outcome. Be sure to check for independence and approximate normality, as well as variance assumptions, to avoid misleading conclusions. Next, we discuss wrapper methods, which select feature subsets based on model performance. This technique employs candidate features and uses k-fold cross-validation to validate against overfitting. Keep in mind that while these methods can yield high-performing feature sets, they may become computationally expensive and present a risk of selection bias without stringent validation. As you consider these methods, evaluate their strengths and potential watchouts to align best with your analytical needs. As we conclude this lesson, let's recap the essential components for building analytics capability. We first explored the fractal analytic model, highlighting how analytics is an iterative journey that thrives on a clear, goal-oriented approach. Next, we discussed the guiding principles that emphasize embracing failure, keeping our focus sharp, and simplifying our solutions to enhance effectiveness. Moving forward, we examined the importance of reasoning and rejection, ensuring our analysis not only align with our intent, but also yield actionable insights. Additionally, we delved into analytic techniques and models, uncovering various data science methodologies and execution strategies that can drive successful outcomes. Finally, we addressed analytic selection and constraints, identifying key considerations such as problem breakdown, computational limitations, and the application of these principles in practical scenarios. With this knowledge, you are now prepared to enhance your analytics capabilities and make informed decisions in your future projects.